Hey, Witness listeners, Sean Flynn here, host of Witnessed Friendly Fire. I'm excited to tell you that I'm back hosting the latest installment of Witnessed that just dropped on the Binge channel, Witnessed 19 Days. This season tells the heart-pounding story of the Austin Bomb Squad's race against time to track down the elusive serial bomber terrorizing the city in the 19 days leading up to Austin's biggest event, South by Southwest, in 2018. The shocking story starts with a simple package, average and unassuming, much like the 60 million other such packages delivered every day across America. But this wasn't an average package. There was a bomb inside, and it detonated on the doorstep of the home where it was delivered, killing the innocent father who picked it up. And that was just the beginning. Join me as we dig deep into the round-the-clock investigation and hear this story directly from the people who were there. The bomb squad on the case, the bomber's victims, Austin journalists and residents. Who is this mysterious bomber? What are they motivated by? Why were they so hard to track down? Trace the case from its origins to its shocking conclusion on Witnessed 19 Days. Listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts, and if you're a subscriber to The Binge, you can enjoy all episodes ad-free today. Here's a sneak peek. In the early hours of March 2nd, 2018, a package was left on the stoop of a little red brick house in Harris Ridge, a neighborhood in the northeast part of Austin, Texas. There didn't seem to be anything unusual about it. Just another cardboard box by another front door.
So it's where weird meets Western. The Rodeo Austin is writing again. The concerts, carnivals, and of course...
The home was owned by a man named Anthony Stephen House. He was married with an 8-year-old daughter. He grew up around Austin, played football, ran track, graduated with a degree in finance from Texas State, just a few miles down the road. He'd been a senior project manager for a Texas company, and he'd just started his own investment fund. Come summer, he was going to mentor local kids. The thing is, House didn't order whatever was in that package. It showed up on his porch before dawn, a plain box. Routine. But when we think something's routine, we don't see the threat.
Do you need
fire? I don't know what's going on. My neighbor, something exploded or something. There's blood everywhere. We need an ambulance immediately.
From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed 19 Days. I'm your host, Sean Flynn. Part 1, March 2nd, 2018.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
My next-door neighbor's down with his face down in blood everywhere. I heard the explosion. There's a smoke alarm. There's blood everywhere.
Okay, so there was an explosion then.
I think so.
I'm probably different than most people. I've been in the military. I did combat deployments. So I'm not going to say I'm desensitized, but I have a stress inoculation to the situations that I run into.
Josh Oyhus was a technician with the Austin Police Department's bomb squad. He was relatively new and one of the first to get the call that day.
I was laying in bed, and it was really early in the morning, so it was probably close to when I was about to get up anyways, and my pager went off, and I looked over at the pager. It said, bomb exploded.
This wasn't Josh's first rodeo. Before he was a cop, he was a Navy SEAL. Served multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He'd seen a lot, been through a lot. But this call, it felt like a mistake.
And I was like, what? Like, there's no way. I just didn't believe, you know, what it was saying.
A bomb tech knows better than anyone just how rare bombings actually are. Which is extremely rare. In 2017, the year before, there were a total of 335 bombing incidents in the entire country. That's according to the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And of those 335 incidents, nearly half involved fireworks. Fatal bombings are almost unheard of. Those bombings killed 16 people that year, 17 if you count the bomber who blew himself up. And that's in a country of 350 million people with 17,000 criminal homicides that year.
So I get up, start getting ready. We had take-home vehicles, so I start throwing all my stuff in the car. And as I'm driving there, we're all in a text thread, so we're like texting each other, like, what's the deal with this? Trying to figure out what's going on. The closer I'm getting, I'm like, this seems pretty real. Like, this is real deal. Something really did just happen.
Josh wasn't the only one who was caught off guard.
The way our on-call systems work, we get a page out that the on-call bomb tech needs to respond to whichever address it is.
One of the other people on that text thread was Rob Nunez, the bomb squad's senior commander.
So when that incident happened, the information that I received was that there was a bombing. It was at somebody's house, and a person was deceased. The bomb had actually killed somebody.
Rob had joined the department as a patrol officer, but after 9/11, Austin police doubled the size of the bomb squad. And for Rob, it was an opportunity to do something different. Rob was as seasoned as they come. He'd seen everything a bomb tech could see, except what he saw on March 2nd.
For all my time on the bomb squad, at that time, it was like 16 or 17 years of being a full-time bomb tech and responding to a lot of different scenes. We've had people make bombs. We've had bombs explode. We've had people kill themselves from bombs. People place bombs to try and kill people. We've recovered explosives, we've detonated explosives, but we have never had a call to where a package was placed by someone with the intent to kill them, and then that package detonate and kill that person.
Rob was used to working with federal agencies, so when something outside the norm came up, he made a phone call.
My name is Christopher Combs. I was the FBI special agent in charge for FBI San Antonio that covers Austin. The morning of the first bombing, the Austin Bomb Squad called us and said they're rolling out to an explosive device that just detonated. So I remember saying to him, are you sure? Like, is this confirmed or is this just a report? And he said, no, this is the real deal.
For Chris, this kind of work was in his blood. He was raised Irish Catholic in New York, and the family business was either cop or firefighter.
The Austin FBI office was very busy. It's one of the largest sub-offices that the FBI has. The main headquarters for this part of Texas is in San Antonio, but the Austin office was so large that we actually had an assistant special agent in charge up there because we had over 200 people. So on any given day, the Austin office is going at about 100%. I stayed in San Antonio, had full faith in the team in Austin. They went to the scene and tried to figure out what exactly has happened here. Because again, this is a very rare event. You know, if you have a bombing, you're looking around, is there a political affiliated something? Is there an abortion clinic, a bank? But this was a street with just houses. So that was, again, very strange.
Josh Oyhus had a long drive from his house to the scene of the bombing. By the time he got there, the victim's body had already been packed into an ambulance, and reporters were posted outside the yellow police tape. Still, Josh was a SEAL who'd seen a lot of combat. He was cautious, deliberate.
I parked my car probably about 100 yards away because I was worried about secondary devices. I did not want to set off something else that somebody had put out. So before I went up to the scene, I started checking around all the cars, all the houses. I'm looking at containers in the area that would be big enough to hold something that could threaten our safety. So once we eliminated things I could see, like smaller packages, I know roughly what the standoff is for those, and we can keep people out of there. But a car is another story. There was one instance where a guy had blown up an abortion clinic, and then he put another device to get the first responders after they came. So I didn't want to be, you know, the moth to a flame if you're trying to maximize damage. It's definitely in the playbook.
Here's Rob Nunez, the bomb squad commander.
Our primary role as a bomb tech is saving lives. Take an explosive device and make it stop from going off. At the point where something has already gone off and exploded, then our job transfers into what they call a post-blast investigation, investigating the scene where a bomb has gone off. When a bomb detonates, every piece and part of that device is still there. It's just in a lot of really tiny pieces. Our job is to get in there and collect all those little tiny pieces and then put that device back together and figure out how that thing functioned. And then within that process of putting this thing back together, we're collecting evidence to try and link that device to a suspect.
Anthony Stephen House lived on a quiet street in a leafy middle-class neighborhood just northeast of downtown Austin. It could have been almost any street in America. Yet Rob and Josh, as they moved toward the house, they couldn't square what they saw with where they were.
In law enforcement, we get pretty good over the years of compartmentalizing things. And at this point, the victim had been removed, but it was not a good scene to see or look at.
It appeared like the device had exploded on the front porch. There was pieces of pipe, you know, like metal fragments, just thrown out into the road, 25 yards or so. So a pretty good blast. The door had a lot of damage to it, the front door, so it looked like maybe the front door was closed when it went off, or it was at least partially closed. And then there was blood all over the front steps that was kind of just like dripping down the steps. Very reminiscent of somebody stepping on an IED, not using the same delivery devices and the same hardware, but very similar. It was definitely like a war zone.
And this was only the beginning. Ready for the whole story? Search for Witnessed 19 Days wherever you get your podcasts to listen now.